Thank you, and ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for watching today. Will you turn in your Bible with me to Ephesians chapter 4? I appreciate you watching the broadcast every Sunday, and I pray it's a blessing to you. I would love to hear from you, and even if you have some argument about the things that I say, contradiction, or whatever, I would appreciate hearing from you. We want to continue today in our discussion of rightly dividing the word, discussing the things that Paul laid out for us in right division. I want you to read with me today from Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3 verse 1, the Bible said, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to youward." In other words, Paul then was given a dispensation unto the Gentiles. It's given me to youward. It's the dispensation of the grace of God. Verse 3, "How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery." Skip the parenthesis and come to verse 5. "Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." What is this mystery? Verse 6. "That the Gentiles," those to whom he's writing, the Ephesians and like the Colossians and whatever, the Gentiles, like we today, "that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." The point being that we Gentiles who were not in the covenants of promise, we were without hope and without God in the world, are now made nigh. We are now fellow heirs with the Apostle Paul and others back there, and we're in the same body with those saints back there by the gospel. How did we become fellow heirs? By the gospel. How did we become members of the same body with them? By the gospel. So that tells me something. That tells me that the cross is the center of everything in the Bible. If I start in Genesis and go through to the cross, everything behind the cross looks forward to the cross. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the Lord speaking unto Satan said, "I'll put enmity between you and the woman," a reference to Eve, "and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." The prophecy is there of both the comings of Christ. The first coming of Christ, when Satan bruised his heel. The second coming of Christ, when Christ bruises Satan's head. Both the comings of the Lord are involved in the context. So everything back there, Genesis on, looks forward to that day when there's going to come a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's going to trample on Satan, that's going to bruise Satan, the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air. Jesus Christ and him crucified is the secret that was hid back there, even though they looked forward to it. In other words, they offered blood sacrifices that could not take away their sins, according to Hebrews chapter 10. But those blood sacrifices that they offered looked forward unto that day when the perfect sacrifice, which is the Son of God, would come that would take away the past sins. Then in Paul's epistles, everything that Paul talks about, everything from Romans through Philemon, is centered in looking back to the cross. Like I've got the appearing of the Lord here, which is the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church looks back to an event. That event is that Jesus Christ died at Calvary. You cannot be involved in the event of the rapture. You cannot be involved in the appearing of the Lord in this instance, unless you're involved in that event back there. Everything in Paul's epistles, hinges around the cross. The preaching of the cross, he said, is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Paul said, the gospel, that gospel of Romans chapter 1, 16, he said, I'm not ashamed of that gospel, for it, that gospel, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe it. Then you cannot be saved from the tribulation. You cannot be saved in the rapture. When the Lord appears to the church, you cannot be a part of that event unless you are a partaker of that which happened at the cross. The cross is the center of everything. No cross, no crown. No cross, no salvation. You must die. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. Someone must die for your sins. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sins, and by your faith in Christ, you're made a partaker of his death at Calvary in order that you may live when the Lord appears to the church, which is the body of Christ. Now, we're talking a mystery. This has something to do with that which was hid in God from the foundation of the world. Notice in Ephesians 3, verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. What is this mystery? Well, it was not a mystery to the Old Testament saint that the Lord was going to establish his kingdom and that the Lord was going to save people in that kingdom. It was no mystery to Isaiah and Jeremiah and the prophets. It was no mystery that God would regather his people and through his people save Gentiles. That was not a mystery. But it was certainly a mystery that God Almighty would save unworthy Gentiles who had not blessed Israel. They were not in the covenants of promise. They were without hope and without God in the world. That God would save them through the cross, through the preaching of the cross, through the gospel of Christ, that was a mystery hid in God from the foundation of the world and revealed to the Apostle Paul. The very fact that Gentiles in this world who deserve nothing but damnation, the very fact that they can be saved out of this world away from the wrath of God was a mystery that those people didn't know about in that Old Testament. Notice the terminology in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, once again, notice the type of people that he's writing to. Verse 21, unto you, the Colossians, and you that are listening to my voice, unto you that were sometime alienated, that is, from Israel, and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. In other words, we've been reconciled to God through the death of Jesus Christ at Calvary. Now come down to verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery, which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. In other words, there is a mystery then between the cross and the rapture. There is a mystery between the cross and the appearing of the Lord to the church. That mystery had been hid in God from before the foundation of the world and was not revealed under the Old Testament prophets. They didn't know anything about it. Peter, James, and John didn't know anything about it, and it remained a mystery until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul, and it has to do with the gospel. The good news that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Now, in verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I have material at home in these books written by people, these commentaries written by people. Sometimes they totally fascinate me in the attitude these people have about these things. This man is using this verse to condemn those who preach the mystery. And he's saying, the mystery which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Say, well, Brother Moore, that is what it said. But the emphasis is upon you. The emphasis is upon you of verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Yet now at the reconciled, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, you who were enemies, you who were outside the realm of prophecy, you who were outside the covenant promises, you who were enemies in your mind by wicked works, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery. The fact that Christ would be in the Gentiles who were not in those covenants of promise is a mystery that had been hid in God from the foundation of the world, and it cannot be unless you believe that Christ died for your sins. Christ cannot be in you without your faith in the cross. It can never be. Go back to Ephesians and look in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, notice in verse 11, Ephesians 2:11, remember, wherefore remember that you, these Ephesians to whom he's writing, you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh. In other words, back there, the Old Testament prophets knew nothing about these Gentiles ever being saved. They were just Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at that time passed. At that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Why were the Gentiles at Ephesus without Christ? Because they were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. If those Gentiles to whom Paul writes, if those Gentiles at Ephesus had been ally with Israel, blessing Israel, then they would have been in the covenants of promise based upon Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter 12, God said, Abraham, I'll bless you and I'll bless your seed after you. I'll bless them that bless you and I'll curse them that curse you. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed. And that came to pass. All the nations back there that cursed Israel, God cursed. The nations that blessed Israel, God blessed. These Gentiles to whom he's writing this book had cursed the seed of Abraham, and they deserved a curse to be on them, but they didn't get the curse. Jesus took the curse instead of them, and as a result of their faith in Christ, they could be blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, that at that time passed, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So, what is this mystery that we're talking about? This mystery that we're talking about is that Christ would be in the Gentiles by the cross, and that these Gentiles would be in Christ's body by the cross. Not by Old Testament promises, but by their faith in the gospel. And that isn't all. That God would save them from this present evil world based solely and strictly upon their faith in Christ. If you ever intend to get out of this world before the wrath falls, there's only one way you can do that. You must believe in Christ. You must accept Him as your Savior. You must believe that He died for your sins at Calvary. Not just died for the sins of the world, but your personal sins. Jesus Christ died for you at Calvary. All your sins were in the future when He died, and when Christ died at Calvary, your sins were transferred to the cross, and by the cross, God judged your sins. There is a great misunderstanding among people today about the cross. The cross was never made as an emblem to stick up on top of some church building somewhere. The cross was never some emblem that you're to wear on a little chain around your neck. The cross was never intended to be placed on pulpit stands and worshiped and bowed down to. The cross was an instrument of condemning criminals. The cross was the means of destroying criminals. The cross was used for criminals. Criminals died on crosses, and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was reckoned to be a criminal. Pilate tried to release Jesus Christ, but Pilate couldn't release Him. Why? Because Jesus Christ was ordained to go to the cross. The preaching of the cross that is foolishness to the world is the fact that the cross that Jesus died on is a criminal's cross. And Jesus Christ was identified among the transgressors. Jesus Christ hung between two thieves and was reckoned to be a criminal. He was seen as a criminal. He was judged as a criminal. He was beaten as a criminal. He was tried as a criminal. He was condemned as a criminal. You're the criminal, and He took your place on a cross. People wear these crosses around their necks with little chains. If you wanted to really be modern, and people are always trying to be modern, they're trying to get up to date with everything. They're always trying to make an up-to-date Bible, you know, the new translation. You really want to be up to date, then get you a little electric chair and put it on a chain around your neck. You really want to be up to date, then get you an electric chair and put it on top of a steeple above your church building, and on and on. So that's sarcasm. No, the electric chair is the means of capital punishment in America today. The electric chair is a means of putting to death those that have committed hideous crimes. That in a gas chamber. Well, Jesus Christ died on a cross. You see, Jesus Christ wasn't shot with a rifle. Jesus Christ wasn't wasn't killed by having His head cut off. Jesus Christ was not killed by sticking something into His heart and killing Him. Jesus Christ was put to death on a cross. Why? Because He was reckoned to be a criminal, because you're the criminal. Your sins are against God. Your crimes are against God. And Jesus Christ took your place on a cross as a criminal. And by your faith in Him, believing that and trusting Him, God will place you in a body that's called the body of Christ, the church which is His body, and Christ will be in you, and Christ in you one day will change your vile body and make it like an His glorious body, and when He shouts from heaven, you'll hear the shout, and you will appear up there with Him. At that time, He will appear only to you that are saved by grace through faith at that day. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, notice the terminology. Go back to verse 7. what God did, he did that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness through Christ Jesus. I've got the ages to come listed up here, and I've got Hebrews through Revelation. In other words, after the rapture takes place and we have glorified bodies, God is going to make known the riches of his grace through us in the ages to come. We've already discussed the time past. We've discussed the but now, the dispensation of grace. We're looking at the ages to come. The ages to come has to do with everything from the rapture of the church forward. Matters not what it is. Eternity. Ages to come. From the rapture on, well, all the way. That in the ages to come. Now watch again. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 7. Why? That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, then why did God Almighty save Gentiles in here? In order that, having saved them by grace without any works, without any merit of their own, in the future, he could show somebody the exceeding riches of his grace through his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now, there is a period of time coming in the future that I've got listed here as the tribulation. It begins when the Lord appears to the church. He will not appear to the world at that time. He'll appear to the church and the church only. This time will last until he appears again with the church. And these two events are laid out for you in a King James Bible. Notice, please. Turn in your Bible to Timothy and notice 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Notice in verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, verse 14, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. The appearing, the word appearing there, is only listed, I believe it's five times in a King James Bible. In Greek. I don't know anything about Greek. But according to the concordance, this is referred to five times, this appearing. Notice in Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, on and on and on. All right? There's going to be an appearing of Jesus Christ. That appearing is going to be to the church, which is the body of Christ. It will not be to the world. It will not be to anyone else. No one will know about it except us that are saved by grace through faith. It'll come with a shout. Turn, please, to 1 Thessalonians. And look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll start reading in verse 13. He said, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. In other words, there are those in the world today who have no hope of this. They have no hope of being saved from the wrath that's going to come because they don't believe in Christ. And he said, you're not to sorrow as others which have no hope. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. In other words, Jesus Christ is going to shout. And when that shout takes place, he will appear to all of those that believe in him as their Lord and Savior. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. In other words, the grace of God is manifested today, and anyone that will, anyone that desires salvation can be saved by grace through faith in what Christ did at Calvary. And those that trust him as their Savior, he will shout unto, they will hear the shout, and they'll be caught up. Their vile bodies being changed and meet him in the air. But there's another appearing that we'll partake in. Look in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, and notice in verse 1, Colossians 3, 1, if you then be risen with Christ, that is, risen from the dead in Christ, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, which is our life, shall appear, he'll appear in glory. When he shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Jesus Christ is going to appear unto the church, which is the body of Christ. He's going to appear unto us that are saved by grace through faith. Only we will see him. No one else will know about it. It will be a secret. The world will know nothing about this appearing over here. He will call us with a shout, as he called Lazarus. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And only Lazarus came forth. He will call us and we'll go up to meet him. Our vile bodies will be changed. We'll be made like unto his glorious body. And then after the tribulation, he will appear again. But when he appears at that appearing, he will make manifest through us the grace that can be had by believing in him as your Lord and Savior. We'll appear with him in glory when he comes again on the other side. But you can't be a partaker of that appearing and that glory unless you are a partaker of his crucifixion in A.D. 33. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Thank you for listening today. Until next time, good day.